Tonight, then, I'd like to go to my message to you. My scripture reading is in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 4 and start at verse 18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful and blessed Sabbath day. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you set the example for us and for all mankind, that we've come together on your special day of the week and honor you and give respect to you and praise to you and follow that example that you set. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your creative works, all of the beauty that you set forth in nature for us. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and thoughts that we will express and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. And my text to you is one of those verses of my scripture reading. And in the verse 19, we read, "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Sounds like Jesus was telling his disciples that you can forget the fishing for fish. I'm going to have you go out and try to catch some people. Some people for a special purpose. My message to you today is entitled "The Call." Jesus issued a call as he was choosing his disciples. And he simply said, "Follow me." And the record is that they did. And his words of "follow me" definitely has the implication of stop what you're doing. And some of them were fishing. Some of them were mending the nets from fishing. Some of them were taking taxes from the people. And Jesus said, "Stop what you're doing and follow me." And they did. Seemed rather sudden, as you would think, with some of them, for Jesus to come up and simply say, "Come on." The call to the unknown is appealing for many, thinking that great excitement and adventure awaits. The high seas beckons. The unexplored calls. The wild frontiers remain. When we think about these things, we know that in our walk as Christians and in our reading of God's Word, we know that the most unfulfilled areas of our heart and of our mind can be satisfied by answering God's calling to us and for us to respond with faith and faithfulness. It's one thing to hear the word. It's one thing to believe the word. And it's altogether another thing to respond with sincere and dedicated faithfulness. Faithfulness is a great word. It indicates that you have faith, but it indicates much more than that. You become and are steadfast, dedicated, sincere in the things that comprise your faith. It's a step beyond. It's part of that growing process as we are saved and as we continue toward God and as we become more and more like Him. What results from all this is life's greatest continuing pleasure and our high sense of self-satisfaction. We all want to be satisfied. We all want to know that we have worth. Worth to ourselves, worth to others, worth to God. It's important to have self-worth and get self-satisfaction. And God provides that as part of this answer to the call. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will use you to reach others and give all of these same rewards to them." There's other calls that are issued. There's not only just one call, even though it's the greatest call. There are calls of the sea that promises excitement, the unknown. There's calls of the wild that promises games and adventure. There's call of the field that promises fruit. There's calls of the water that promises fish. There are calls of gold or money that promises profit. There's call of sports and games that promises an ego, self-satisfying promise. But the greatest of the calls is the call of the Lord, which promises souls won as children in God's family. And no greater service can any person do to another than to lead them to Jesus Christ. Jesus promises to equip us with all that we need for this. He will use our experience of the past, our skills and our talents to help us to lead others as part of our call. And He will give us His Holy Spirit, as He freely promises to do. He will give us His Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to train us, in helping us to lead others to Christ. We need to come to the point in our life in which, in thinking about the call that is issued by God, we need to come to realize that we need to invest our lives in that which gives the greatest return. Does that not make sense? That's what the money people do. Invest your lives in that which we come to know will give the greatest returns. And we're not talking money. But God will help that out too. He says He will do things for us both in this world and in the world to come. But we're not talking materialistically. We're talking about our answering the call and God equipping us to help lead others to Him so that they may know what we know. They may have access to what we have. And they may reap the rewards that we reap. In thinking about the call, and thinking about Jesus Christ, to answer the call of the Lord that is issued, we need first to accept His attitudes and His ideas and His concepts and His values. They, in essence, need to become part of us, just as they were part of Him and enabled Him to do the things that He did. We need to accept these. Let's go to Philippians 2 and 1. Philippians 2 and 1. In thinking about this attitude, mind of Christ, Philippians 2, 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Boy, that's a lot of good things there. There's harmony. There is unity. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Isn't that something? Do not merely look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. We're not supposed to be self-centered, self-minded, selfish. One of these commandments up here addresses that we are to look out for our neighbor, regard our neighbor's things. If we can be of help and see some need of our neighbor, then we're to try to answer that need. Accept the attitudes of Jesus Christ. Secondly, accept His priorities. And what was Jesus Christ's priority as you think on them? Number one was to do His Father's will, to do the things that his father sent him to this earth to do, to die for you and me, so that we can have forgiveness of our sin, to pay the blood sacrifice as had always been required. And he did that for us. To do the Father's will was Jesus' first priority. And then to serve the needs of others. Let's go to Luke 22 and 42. Luke 22, 42. Saying, and Jesus, this is Jesus as he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. It was important to Jesus to do the will of his Father, even though he knew the pain and agony that was to come. Still, he prayed for his Father's will. Let's go to John 4 and 34. John 4, 34. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You know, Jesus Christ, the Word says Jesus Christ was with the Father from the beginning. Before the world was, I was. Jesus was with the Father. And it was their plan and their agreement of what is recorded in his word that was done. The plan was for Jesus to come to this earth as a human and to die the death that he died for each of us, so that we then would have the way to stand in right standing with God the Father and be accepted as one of his children in his family. That's how it came about. That was the plan, or at least part of the plan. It's not all the plan, but it's part of it. And Jesus was determined to do it. And he did accomplish the will of his Father. Let's go to Mark 10 and 45. We need to accept Jesus' priorities, and his priority was to do his Father's will, and it was to serve the needs of others, and it was to share the good news of God's love. And that's what Jesus did when he sought to teach others of the kingdom and of them being a part of it. Mark 10 and 45, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It was the top priority of Jesus to serve the needs of other people. And he did. And that was his priorities. And when we answer the call, that becomes important to us. His priorities should become our priorities. Seek the will of the Father. Serve others. Tell others of the good news of the kingdom so they can come in as a family member of Almighty God. And thirdly, adopt Jesus' affections. And what was Jesus' affections? Obviously. Number one, God the Father. Jesus loved his Father and did his will. Taught his commandments as he heard of the Father. And then Jesus' affections for people. It needs to be our affection for people. And lastly, imitate Jesus' actions. He's an example. He's the example. He showed us the Father as he was here on this earth. We need to imitate as we can. As part of the growing process of becoming more and more like God himself, we take on his characteristics as we grow. And we imitate Jesus' actions. We need to come to the point that we know in our mind and accept that we are going to let God change us so that other people can see God in us. So that they can see Jesus Christ in us as we imitate Jesus' actions. How are we going to be helpful to others if they only see us as hopefully we were? That might not lead too many to want to come to Jesus or to be a family member of God. But as Jesus shines through us and we become more like him, imitating his actions, then they see something that they want, something they don't have. They see Jesus in us and through us. Jesus' call and God the Father's call is to the world, to all, but to answer the call is to already know that there's going to be changes to be made. To answer the call, changes immediately start happening. The Bible describes it as a new birth or as a rebirth. And the implications are that as we become and take on more of the Spirit of God, then that's part of this rebirth, this growing process. And then we answer the call. We accept by faith that when we answer the call, changes in our lives are inevitable. And hopefully, our bad characteristics, the things that need to be changed in our lives, in our personalities, in our attitudes, hopefully those things begin to fall off. And as part of answering the call, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Let's know that we're going to answer the call when the call is given. If you would stand up.